This is the podcast from JNS Pediatrics. Welcome. I'm Natalie Pincham, and this is the September 12, 2014 podcast from JNS Pediatrics, which includes articles on the following topics: the peripheral nerve and infection. Ultrasonography for neonatal brachial plexus palsy. A case report by Jacob Rahul Rajiv Joseph and colleagues. Treatment of neonatal brachial plexus palsy is complex and interdisciplinary. The authors report the first use of ultrasound to guide decision-making for strategizing nerve reconstruction in the presence of secondary shoulder subluxation. An experienced pediatric ultrasonographer detected an upper trunk neuroma but symmetric movement of the diaphragm. In the context of the clinical and electrodiagnostic examination findings, a postganglionic lesion of the upper trunk is generally treated with nerve reconstruction involving a nerve graft repair of the upper trunk. However, ultrasound also indicated significant shoulder subluxation but atrophy of only select shoulder muscles. In this circumstance, recovery of upper trunk function can also be achieved via nerve transfer techniques. Instead of the typical practice of immobilizing the shoulder in adduction and internal rotation after performing nerve reconstruction, the authors placed a cast on the shoulder in abduction and external rotation to relocate the humeral head, both before and after nerve transfer procedure, to prevent potential shoulder deformity. The patient has had a good functional outcome and is currently without evidence of shoulder subluxation. In light of these results, the authors propose that ultrasound is a valuable adjunctive tool in the routine preoperative evaluation of patients with neonatal brachial plexus palsy. The association between dental health and procedures and developing shunt infections in pediatric patients. A clinical article by Alan Ali Mawazum and colleagues. Patients with surgically implanted hardware have been shown to be at risk for infection following dental procedures, presumably due to the bacteremia such procedures can cause. Artificial heart valves and recently implanted orthopedic hardware are two important examples. However, the risk of developing a cerebrospinal fluid diverting shunt infection after a recent dental procedure has not been investigated. The authors cross-referenced medical and dental records of 100 pediatric patients at their institution to investigate this clinical question. During the study period, these 100 patients underwent 204 separate shunt procedures. A total of 21 shunt infections were recorded during this period. But of these infections, only 5 occurred in the 3-month period following a dental procedure. The odds ratio of developing a shunt infection after a dental procedure did not reach statistical significance. The invasiveness of the dental procedure and the overall oral health and hygiene of the patient also were not statistically significant risk factors for developing a shunt infection. The authors conclude that dental procedures do not confer a higher risk for developing CSF shunt infections in pediatric patients. Prophylactic antibiotics, specifically for this purpose, are likely not needed. Thank you for listening. To read all the articles published by the Journal of Neurosurgery this week, or to listen to more podcasts, please visit us at thejns.org. And for more information on how to submit your research to the Journal of Neurosurgery, please visit thejns.org and click on Info for Authors.